art, culture, politics, activism. Now, art in the pandemic age. Have you ever wondered why artists do what they do? What is their purpose? What are they trying to accomplish? I'm your host, Kyle Roman. Welcome to Artivism Now. Artivism, defined, is a portmanteau word combining art and activism. How is it that artists push the boundary of their medium? How do they move societies forward? How do they resolve issues in their neighborhoods, both local and worldwide? These questions are what we set out to answer by interviewing artists locally and the world over. We will get answers to those questions that artists put out there in the community. Welcome to the fourth episode of the Ascendance Mural series here on Artivism Now. We welcome Marina Perez Wong, muralist at Twin Walls Mural Company. Due to poor sound quality from my equipment, we jump into the interview when we are talking about Susan Cervantes, owner of Presita Eyes Mural Company. So what was it like learning from Susan, the tips and tricks and all the training about being a muralist?
Brilliant. She's like my mom in a sense. I call my mom a practical genius. And Susan, we actually call our art mom. So we call her mom too. But there's just methods, the practical portion of it, to painting, you know, the palettes that we use, the paint that we use, even how to maintain the paint. Like, you know, we always have spray bottles. We have a rag. We have like a set system of things that we use, chip brushes, which are things that I wouldn't have learned if I hadn't have been trained under Susan. You know, scaffolding, or, you know, the ladders, pretty much everything practical like that comes from her. But I think the more important aspects of being trained by Susan were that she taught us to how to collaborate in a really unique way. That I think, you know, lends itself to Elaine and my personalities already anyway. But with Susan, she wants everyone to feel like they're reflected in the wall. And it's really important, because it's for the community ultimately. Like, it's not our wall. And there's something really humbling about that. She's a really humble person. To a fault, because I feel like she deserves so much more award and praise and credit for what she's done and continues to do. And, you know, we love her. We think she's amazing. She's the best. But I also feel like, you know, being a woman in this job, and running this nonprofit for as long as she has, doing different programming and setting that up, having the Urban Youth Arts Program be like, it's now historic. This is going on, I don't really remember how many years this is. It's like over 30. I'm forgetting how many years. But just, you know, really important for the mission. But on even a grander scale, I feel like it's important for all young women to be able to see, as creative people, that we can run the show too. And in our own way, we don't have to conform to someone else's method. Like, we can do it how mom trained us to. and just tweak it a little bit so that it's our own voice. But she's been a huge influence for us. And the other portion that, you know, besides the collaboration and being able to talk and work with people of all ages, which I love. The other portion is that her work always has this healing quality. It's it expresses what the viewer, what the community wants to see, but in that there's this sort of healing that's translated that is necessarily some entire process, like. And then the fact that it lasts later and it's made a part of the community after, and a lot of them become almost these historic places that people go to as reference points for their lives or for their kids' lives is just really magical. So, and her personal work, I don't know if you've ever seen her personal work, is some of my favorite in the whole world. And she, you know, it doesn't come out enough, but I always feel like even that she worked on healing. That is something that Elaine and I strive to do. And we always take note of that. So in our own personal work and in the work that we do collaboratively,
it sounds like Susan really kind of pushed you guys to not only listen to the community's voices, but your own as an artist to maybe go into how that has played into your work over the years.
It was outside of working with Susan, with Proceda Eyes, it kind of gave me the confidence to be able to do work that's similar in other places too. So when I went to New York, I worked for Groundswell Community Mural Project. And their program is totally different, but it's kind of like a cousin in that it's a community mural project. And their method is really different, but I still felt like I could bring what I learned from Susan, from Proceda, out there. And that, you know, parts of that I felt like New York needs, because there's already so much community. They, you know, probably just need some people to organize to like bring them together. And when it happens, it's really beautiful. So I feel like on both coasts, I mean, she does it in Europe. I mean, I've done projects with other people that ended up being collaboratives that went to the Philippines and I forget where else, Palestine. So I just, it's humbling. I mean, Susan's not the only muralist that I worked with, but she's definitely the one that's been the most influential. I actually was really lucky that I got to, right out of college, I worked with Proceda, but I was also assisting other amazing artists and muralists. Amy Burke, who is one of my mentors, Megan Wilson, Susan Green. So they're all big cheeses in their own right. So
and they're all
like, I've had all these amazing strong women. Yes, exactly.
I think
and they handle business. So
well, yeah, and that kind of brings us to Twin Walls, right? You and Elaine, you started kind of in the same place, high school wise, and then you went off in kind of different directions and then found each other back again. What was that like, coming back together? And then it just seems like it was something that just, you guys were like, one day we're like, hey, we could do this. Or someone came by and was like, hey, you guys should do this.
It
right.
Was.
Yeah.
It was almost exactly like that. You know, Elaine and I had been friends in high school. We hung out mostly our junior and senior year because we had the most classes, and we were always like first kids in the art room and last kids to leave. And I feel like, you know, both of us sometimes would stay so late that our teacher, Miss Pannone, Marsha Pannone, she's like, we dedicated a mural to her because she was our first art mom and she took care of us. She used to drive us home sometimes because we'd be at school so late and she'd be helping us get into art colleges. I mean, between her and my mom, I applied to like 16 different art colleges. It was insane. And, you know, I got into 14 and waitlisted for 2, but only because of my SAT scores. They took my portfolio right away. So I even got awards from both of those, even though I didn't get in. It was weird. But, like, you know,
university requirements versus the department requirements. And yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I feel like with Ms. Pannone, with being so close to her, Elaine and I felt comfortable from a young age to be with each other, to just like be who we were. Yeah. And even though we changed a bit, you know, growing up, obviously we stayed in touch through her going to college and moving afterwards from college to Philly. And, you know, I would go visit her there. And we didn't see each other often, but when we did, it was great. And then she came back home and, you know, I was really excited because I was like, oh, great, this is fun. And I remember we went out one night. Right when she came home, it was a wild night, but we had so much fun and I was like, this is fantastic. I'm so excited. Mm-hmm. And I knew she was going to start working for Presida, and I had already been working with Presida a bit by then. Mm-hmm. And her history with them is different because she actually started painting murals with them at 14. So me, it wasn't until like my mid 20s. But with Elaine, she had already known everybody. So, and it was cool because even though she hadn't been home for forever, it felt like as soon as she came home back to Presida, like we had all the same friends. So it was really convenient. And I think Susan put us on like 1 or 2 projects together. And you just realize like, this is so much fun. Like, I have never had so much fun painting, and we'd be bouncing ideas off of each other and, you know, shooting Cheeseman and just having a good time and talking about, you know, whatever, relationships and music and everything under the sun. And we'd be laughing and we'd be crying. Didn't matter because we were like together. And, you know, she said, our friends, Joe and Jordy, wanted us to do some signage. And I was like, yeah, sure, let's do it. And it was actually them, our good friends, Joe and Jordy, who said, why don't you two just start your own business? And we thought, why don't we? That's so crazy. We can do that. Why didn't we think of that? And so Elaine had already had the experience with paperwork and all the logistics from Presida because she'd been working with Susan so closely. Mm-hmm. And for me, I'm pretty good at networking and talking to people. So we both, you know, whenever we work together, we kind of just form like Voltron. Like she does her half and I do mine. And like, we ask each other to do whatever needs to get done. And, and I think, you know, it stems from Susan, but also from both of our personalities. That when Elaine and I, well, also from Ms. Pannone and our being friends for so long, when we work together, there's no ego. It's kind of like mom. It's like, it's not my wall. It's either our or the community's wall.
Right. Yeah.
We're not going to make a decision out of like, you know, what's going to be beneficial to the wall? What's going to be beneficial to have people see or connect with. And I think, you know, Elaine and I both also have that kind of backstory of being a little bit socially aware and active politically, and having family that or friends that are in those fields. We ended up each other twin walls, neural company, because whenever we're on a project, a wall, we're like twins. What one twin wants to do, the other one does not want to do, or vice versa. You know, I'll say, can I paint that, Alini? And she's like, yes, please. I didn't want to paint it. You should paint that, Marina. Or, you know, I say, like, if we both know that we're going to, you know, we could do a good job. Because I like to say, not that we play to our strengths, because I don't feel like those other things are necessarily weaknesses, but it's mostly just playing to the strengths. Like, even when both of us could paint something, like, I'll be like, no, Elaine, you know, you should paint this, because I feel like your style, like, you would do this more justice than I would. And it's fine. We work like that with our ideas, like from concept to sketching to the execution. And even like minor things, like Elaine, we balance each other out. Elaine tends to be speedier when she paints. And we've totally grown with each other too. I paint more slowly than she does. I used to be crazy, super detailed, meticulous, like to a fault. Elaine would be really loose. And so eventually she'd have to tighten up and I would have to loosen up. And we just meet in the middle. You know, we form like Voltron.
Yeah, you guys compliment each other.
She's my better half.
It seems like you're just a compliment to one another. And just speaking with the both of you guys, I could tell that there's definitely a different wavelength that you're both on, but at somewhere in you know, in the universe, that wavelength connects back to itself. So I think that's fascinating about Twin Walls Mural Company. So and then you guys are involved in this amazing project, Ascendance, right? And so we've had Desi on, we've had Spencer on. Yes. Who gave us the history about the Alice Street mural and how that led up to CRP and the advocacy for Ascendance. So let's start off with just some basics about that project. How did you hear about it? How did you first get involved? What are you currently working on?
Oh, okay. So Desi called me, and I guess our now friend Dave had actually recommended the pair of us, because Desi was looking for a muralist who could paint this wall with him, and he had already hired Dave, who's an amazing artist. We love Dave Kim. He's he's awesome. And we had always followed his work. So when Desi told us that he, you know, recommended us, we were like, oh my gosh, he knows who we are. We love him. So that was really fun. Though Dave's not gonna be on the project anymore, that's kind of sucky, but we'll work, we'll collaborate some other day.
For sure.
But yeah, so I actually had known who Desi was before, though. I guess he didn't know who we were, but I knew who he was because he was married to my friend Jen, who I had known since middle school. So we hadn't really kept in touch outside of Facebook or Instagram. You know, I hadn't seen her in years, but she was always one of my favorite people in middle school. And so, you know, I had seen, you know, just on her feed or something that her husband was a muralist or graph writing painter muralist. So that's how I knew of him, but I hadn't actually seen any of his work, not like his mural work. And I hadn't seen the Alice Street mural. So when I saw that, I was like, oh, wow, this is beautiful. And he's asking us to not recreate this exactly, but do something similar. And I was like, you know, Lainey, I think we should do it. This is a giant wall. And, you know, it's a community project. We've been wanting to do more in Oakland because, you know, we're both on this side now. Elaine hadn't been until recently. So it's actually easier for us now, because for me, I used to have to commute to San Francisco to work on stuff with her. So now we're both on this side of the bridge.
Yeah.
And so I think that it was a community project was something that was close to our heart already. And the fact that it's about a lot of really wonderful people who are like based in the Bay, a lot of performance artists, and mm-hmm. artists and activists was also something that we really connected to. Mm-hmm. And just the immensity of it. Mm-hmm. Elaine and I like a challenge. We like big walls. We were like, oh my gosh, what do we get ourselves into? But, you know, we were really excited about it. We'd never been on a swing stage. And, you know, I like to say, like I said, Elaine and I normally balance each other out. I'm the twinsie who likes being high, high, high. Elaine is like, me, I'm like, let me climb up that crazy looking scaffolding. I do it. But yeah, Elaine likes being closer to the ground. But even still, like, she's fine on the swing stage now. It's, you know, we're in harnesses. It's comfortable.
Well, and it's also a unique shape to the wall, too.
It's been really amazing.
It's kind of like a reverse L shape to the wall, right? So that's got to present, you know, some sort of workload challenges to you guys. Like, has there been a strategy in terms of completion that you guys have been utilizing?
I mean, you know, the swing stage is its own, like, we've just decided we're pretty much just going to use the swing stage for that entire right side. Mm-hmm. Well, except for the bottom. When the swing stage is up, then we can actually put, Elaine and I brought ours. There's another scaffolding that we can put underneath, but our little scaffolding works, our bakers. But it's, you know, we've had enough people to divide ourselves so that some are on the swing and some are on the scaffold and some are on the ground. Mm-hmm. And so tackling it, you know, we kind of, Desi, he hadn't done a mural like this before. So mm-hmm. he's lucky we love him because we brought Susan's method over. And so, you know, I was actually there. I was the first one with him because I thought, you know, we were initially going to do set times and I was going to start and then somebody else I think was going to take over. I don't know what he was thinking, but yeah, it ended up just being Desi and I and some volunteers for the first part. And then Elaine came and joined, but yeah, I had to, you know, break it down and help him we gridded the entire wall. And then, you know, even the basics on like, this is what you use charcoal to draw. And so, you know, and Elaine and I are pretty fast at drawing. Like, I'm slower for painting. I say I'm slower, but I guess I'm relatively fast painting too. But, you know, like, you know, the drawing portion was, I think, a little, not harder for him, but like, it's not his medium. So he needed a little help, but with that initially, but now he's fine. He's got everything. He worries about it, but he's fine. We brought Persita's method over to this wall.
Yeah, that's what I remember in my conversation with Desi. He acknowledged the fact that you guys brought over all of these techniques to prep the wall and to be prepared so that you could finish strong instead of having going back to touch up or, you know, tighten up as much as possible. It's been well attributed to you guys that he's been learning, you know, your process for especially brush painting, right? Yeah, he's more of a
Susan's, but yeah. Rep training is
Yeah, and it seems like the team is highly collaborative.
I know, and you know, he does great handling. He hangs in there because we pick on him. He's the only boy. Poor Desi. We thought Dave was gonna be here, and he was gonna be able to be leg on. Desi's team. No, it's just what am I working?
Yeah, so
today,
like
I worked on a musician, the portrait of a musician.
Okay.
Well, it's been we kind of have jumped a little bit everywhere. So yesterday I wasn't on the swing, but since I got to be on the swing today. Then I worked on two portraits that I had started before but needed tweaking. With the scale of the wall, it's really difficult to paint, especially because this is something I, you know, kick him for. But he didn't know that he should have only had high quality high-res images. So I'm working from a Facebook picture this small, painting something this big. And it's hard, you know? It's hard even if I use all my skills. Like, it takes a lot longer. And especially when you're right in front of it, you think you have the proportions right, but it's just not until you, like, literally, like, I had to drive around the corner to look at it from afar to see what I was messing up on. So you know, that part's a little difficult, but it's fun. You know, I like bouncing around. Yesterday I worked on the coyote that's on the far right on the bottom. So today I was like 90 feet up in the air at one point, and then 60 at another venture because we get the sun at a certain part of the day, and then we just can't work because it's just reflecting right back to us and we can't see anything we're painting. Mm-hmm. So yeah, then we just dropped and we worked on something lower, and yeah, it's fine. I like bouncing around.
That's great. Yeah. And the fact that it's on the Green Lining Institute down there in Oakland, and what that means for the cause of, you know, of trying to hold off gentrification and just institutional systemic racism based on housing. And what is it like knowing that you're working on a mural that has such immense, just immediate and long-term, you know, reverberations? Like, this is something that's going to symbolize a movement moving forward.
I think, you know, all walls are important to us, some more than others because of the historical background or what they mean to a particular community. And I feel like with this one, especially, like, being someone who's been evicted out of first the place I grew up in, but then also my entire city pretty much. And, you know, the Bay has been hard to live in. Like, even moving to Oakland was not easy. You know, I have family in Oakland, so that's, and friends, and that worked out. But it's, you know, it's hard to live in the Bay to be a creative person. So to pay tribute to creatives and activists on this wall for Green Lining is really wonderful for us, because I feel those connections and are so reflective of us growing up in the Bay, in our different neighborhoods that we grew up in. You know, me from the Mission, and even actually my first art class / mural project was when I was 5 in Bodecker Park in Tenderloin. And so, and Elaine kind of grew up Tenderloin a little bit too. So, you know, we have these neighborhoods that feel like we have those connections, and we've seen what's happened to those neighborhoods, and to those portions of the city, not just the neighborhood, but just the city, I guess, in general. So it really feels important. Maybe a little more so than a lot of our other projects that are community-based.
Yeah, and the fact that it's kind of a continuance, maybe not directly continued from, but in relation to the Universal Language mural that was built in front of, and the documentary Alice Street goes through that, that probably lends a lot of meaning to it as well. It's kind of like a legacy for DESE and CRP. To keep this story being told about the artists in Oakland, right?
Yeah, for sure.
About maybe your process or your technique or something that you think that is important for young artists to know, maybe someone who's in high school or about to graduate.
So I actually, you know, when I was teaching, at Oakland School for the Arts, taking a break, but I've pulled my students into a lot of our projects, and we actually have one who's working with us now, yay, we've hired her onto the team. And I feel like for them, it was their first time when I brought in mural paint to the classroom. I wanted them to experience it because we work with the best paint, I think, ever. and it's so different being a student using student grade paint. Also, you know, it's not just, and we love Nova Color. That's what Elaine and I work with. That's what we work with at Procida, because it has the highest quality pigment that doesn't change. So normally, even with higher end painting, paints like Golden, say, you'll be painting with a red, but it'll dry two shades darker, maybe three shades. And even if you add white, then it just becomes this like weird, hazy, grayish pink. And I hate that. I was working with Utrecht paint, Groundswell. I couldn't do it. Ended up bringing my own paint in halfway through, because I'm a paint snob now. but you know, it's also that it's so flexible when you're using it. If you've ever painted with acrylic, a lot of people think, how would you paint a mural with that? Because it's so thick and it's like, doesn't move. Well, ours is really flexible, really smooth. You don't even have to use too much water. A little bit of water, I always tell the kids, yes, use a little bit of water. But it flows. And so, you know, both the quality of the pigment, the colors that they have, the fact that there are transparent colors that you can layer, which I like doing, not everybody does, but lends itself to, I think, our painting technique and style, both Elaine and mine. We tend to be, well, you know, kind of sometimes loose, sometimes layered. Even if it's technical, it's a bit layered. And we also like very vibrant, saturated depth in our painting. So there's a lot of contrast sometimes, but not everyone paints like that, I know. And, you know, when Elaine was in the East Coast, they were telling her to gray things out. You know, going to an art school, they don't tell you that you can use a color that comes straight out of the tube, jar in our case, or bucket. They tell you to add white, tinted, you know, make it gray, make it, you know, something more toned down. And for Elaine and I, we were like, you know, why would we do that? We want to make it look the way it looks in nature, or even brighter, because what do we want people to see this and think it's something dead? No, we want life. So, you know, with Nova Color, we can do that. And I think that also is part of why this mural is so vibrant, is the paint that we're using and the style that we paint with.
Moving forward, I can't wait for it. It's coming together nicely. So, like, in terms of maybe percentage of being done at this point, where do you feel like you're at?
It's hard to say. Maybe almost half, maybe. That okay. might be being generous. I mean, we've got a lot of wall covered. It's not finished, though.
Right, okay.
So there might be a base coat on things, but they're going to have to be finessed after. Right. So, yeah, I'm not entirely sure. I'll be generous and say we're halfway through.
All right.
We're at the halfway. I think we have, like, another month in us.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I imagine it sounded like the timeline was going to be more for like August, right? For a finish up date.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. You guys are right on time.
Elaine and I have to. Yeah. Elaine and I have to end because we have another project coming up. But,
right.
You know, I don't know. Maybe it'll go on after. But yeah, I'm glad we brought Lisa, my former student. From OSA, she's Oakland School for the Arts. She just graduated, and it's been great to work with her because, you know, we've brought her on to a few other projects, and she, like the other ones, are just so talented and energetic, and they're so much fun. And so, you know, bringing her on is great for us because Elaine and I always want to. Mm-hmm. Young women, we always feel like we want them to see that they can do it sometimes better than boys most of the time, just kidding. But you know, they can paint big, they can run their own company, they're, you know,
yeah,
make moves.
Mm-hmm.
And for, you know, she, the other ones participated, it was Lisa becoming a muralist after school. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we of course are like, come work with us whenever. You know, I'm glad, you know, we can hire her for this one before she goes to school. She's going to the Chicago Art Institute, which is another reason why I wanted her to work on this project.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, Desi's from Chicago and he knows people.
Yep.
There at the Institute. So I knew that would be a good fit for her.
Absolutely.
In that light. But I also just knew she'd knock it out of the park like she always does. So
it's great. What an amazing opportunity. And it's great to see you guys doing the, you know, kind of sort of the same thing that Susan did with Elaine and then eventually you as well, as kind of passing that on, the ability to be independent female muralist and even hopefully one day company. You guys are acting as the example for her, and that's amazing that you guys are able to pass it on so quick right after you guys essentially. I mean, I blink nowadays and 7 years go by. When Walls Mural has been around for 7 years, and you know, it would have been, it seems like it's even longer.
Yeah. Well, yeah, for us too. The bill, yes, we started working on our project, our first project together whenever Elaine moved back. I can't even remember when that was. It's been so long. So,
yeah, it might as well have started.
And we were muraling before. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it, you know, it really, like, that's the other thing about Elaine and I hooking up. Like, I had been working at Presida which came very naturally. Like I said, they just hired me after I had volunteered a couple of times, but I was not very thrilled with art coming out of art college. So I didn't even know that I wanted to continue it. I was pretty sick of it, actually. So moving forward, figuring out that I'm more of a community artist, and even in the way that I paint for my private paintings, they're more reflections of the community, I feel like, than just something personal, you know, just me, or just for me.
So we, you know, we've covered it all. And then I also wanted to give you a chance to talk about your health and how you're doing. Yeah. And, you know, let everybody know about Team Marina that's up on the Twin Walls mural site. How are you doing? How are you feeling currently?
I'm great. I'm like, I'm blessed.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's funny, you know, it's funny. People used to tell me that when I'd ask them, and I was like, yeah, that's cool. But now I get it. I'm like, oh, no, I really do legit. Like, even if I'm having a bad day, I feel like I'm blessed. So it's almost been a year that I was diagnosed with stage 4 metastatic breast cancer. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like I said, this was not my first round with cancer. I had a rare cancer back then that was, you know, 1 out of every 1,000,000 babies gets it for no reason at all.
Yeah.
So getting this, which is something that, you know, normally women don't get until they're in their 60s or 70s or, you know, later even, was a bit of a shock for sure. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, I had known a little bit before. I had suspected something was wrong because I felt it spiritually more than I even recognized physically. But you know, then when I did realize it physically, then I went and got checked up, and actually have this gene that sucks, but it's called the BRCA gene, and it gives people breast cancer, a higher chance of getting breast cancer as a young person than other people. I think it's like 30 to 50% chance I was going to get it as a young person. And, you know, I'm also susceptible to ovarian cancer, so I have to worry about that later. But in the meantime, like, you know, last August is when I found out. And almost immediately, I started in on some really heavy chemotherapy, one of the strongest. And, you know, people stage 4, and it's stage 5 is you're not here anymore. So for me, I just was kind of like, you know, I had seen the way my grandpa handled having cancer, and I kind of felt the same way. I was like, well, you know what? If I make it a year, if I make it 20, I'll be happy. Like, I've had a really phenomenal life, I think. I mean, I haven't had everything. You know, I'm like, what am I? I'm like a mission kid that, you know, is an art nerd. But I have a solid family, and I have an incredible community, and, you know, that more than anything resonated as soon as I found out. So I always felt like I've been gifted this. So, you know, if I don't make it till tomorrow, I'm really lucky. So I have nothing to be angry or sad about. Mm. Well, it's sad that I wouldn't get to be with them, but, yeah. I don't know. I've just, you know, taken it as positively as I can. And I feel like, you know, of course, chemo is really fucking rough, but you know, my team Marina, my best friends, and pretty much just my best friends, like, as soon as I diagnosed, and I told them, like, they were like, all right, we're getting together, we're doing this, we're handling, what are you going to need to get finances? Okay, let's organize a benefit. Let's organize some kind of a fundraiser. What do we need for this? You're going to need transportation to and from the doctors. And my mom is already really organized, but it was, you know, this is her second time with me having cancer. Yeah. So it was really overwhelming, still is for her. So to have them come as such a huge support was just so humbling. I never expected that. You know, they're the best people, the best humans in the whole world. I have the best people in my corner. I think I'm convinced.
No, that it sounds like.
So yeah, you know, they're awesome. Yeah. They're all badasses in their own right. They're organizers, they're artists, they're activists. I joke, but I'm like, they could rule the entire universe with how they like took over and like handled business. Because at that point I was just like, I don't know what to do. I was just so overwhelmed. I was like, they're saying all these words to me and I don't know. I'm just trying to live.
Yeah.
So it was great. So they started a GoFundMe for me. My friend Pablo started it, and my friends organized a fundraiser that we had that has supported me being out of work, because I knew that I was going to be out. I didn't know that I was going to be out this long, but it is what it is. You know, it's fine. I'm hanging in there. Yeah. And they're I think they're gonna maybe try and host an art show for me later too, further down the line, because I won't have benefits. I'll have to get on Medi-Cal, and surgery is expensive. But that is the good news too. Sorry, I know this is long, but
no, it's okay.
So after my first rounds of chemo, the strong stuff, actually even before then, my doctor, who's phenomenal, I love Dr. Lou. He's Raymond Lou is the best. He actually, he saw me. He really saw me. Like he saw the whole picture of me. Mm-hmm. He didn't just look at my case. And he was like, all right, we can do what you want, Marina. Like, I can treat you like a stage 4 patient, and we can just try and get you on some drugs and see how long that lasts and then try and switch them up. Yeah. Or like, if you really want to fight this, like we can try some stronger stuff and go in there, go hard or go home. Like, and the fact that he was so willing to fight for me, I was like, yes, that's what I wanted. I need positive people. I need everybody to be positive, because I feel like that's what I need. I'm in the same vein as Susan. I'm like, I can heal this shit. Collectively, we can all heal me. So, he's been an amazing person to have on Team Marina, kind of too, in the background. But after that first round of strong stuff, my tumor and my lymph nodes shrunk significantly. So it was worth, all of it, losing my hair, looking like death, feeling like death. The taste buds really got me. So I'll speak on two things about it. My losing my taste buds, I'm like a fat kid about food. I'm like, I was like, fine. I was like, take the hair, take this. I don't care if I look like death. But take my taste buds. I was like, why am I here anymore? But it wasn't just that. It was also the fact that, Elaine and I had already had projects lined up before I was diagnosed. And so one of them we had started to work on, and that actually ended up being healing and restorative later. But initially I couldn't do it. Because, I was on the chemo and my brain, like chemo brain is real. Like I lost, or I thought that I lost all of my ability, and that that really fucked with me. I was like, you know, if I can't eat and taste food and I can't paint, like, I don't know why I'm here anymore. Like, I don't really feel like myself. I don't even know if I'm here. The option to have a surgery, it's been really amazing too, because normally they don't give surgeries or offer them to stage four patients.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he, like I said, he sees the whole marina, the whole picture. And so he said, we can shoot for this. Like, you're young, you're healthy, and you're responding well to this treatment. If anything, we can try and take it all out and, you know, put you back on hormone therapy and see if we can't just take it all. So, I mean, it's a lot of surgery. It's a lot of, you know, reconstruction and life altering stuff, and there's risks, but I feel good about it. I feel pretty confident and just thankful that it's even an option for me, because, you know, not all women get that. So,
well, I'm definitely praying for your continued health and healing. And it seems like you have an amazing community around you helping you heal, and healing is in your job. It's in your upbringing. And so it's no doubt in my mind that it's going to happen for you. So thank you for chatting with us tonight. Yeah. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. Oh, I did want to say too, I'm sorry. Wait.
Yeah, no.
About the healing, it's not, well, I mean, it's my friends and family too, but my community at OSA really pulled me through, especially my kiddos. Like, when I was really sick, I was like, send me some pictures now, because I'm feeling like I'm not a human. And when I see them and I see their work, and, you know, I emailed my students' parents to let them know I wanted to tell them. I wanted to talk to them, because I didn't want them hearing it from somebody else. I didn't want them to see it in an email or hear it in an announcement.
Yeah.
Especially all the kids that I had worked directly with. So some of them I'd had for years. Mm-hmm. So, you know, even them, like, they've really pulled together and they've helped us out on neural projects that I just wasn't really in my body for. So yeah, they're healing too. So
well, and that's all a testament to the work that you had done, when your students react that way to your own life. You know, it's a testament to you as an educator that you're inspiring every single one of them with every step you take. So you know, I have no doubt now after talking with you that, you know, you're surrounded by people that love you, and you're going to heal from all of that, especially.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, it was great getting to chat with you about this. Thanks for opening up. I know it's very difficult, but it's, yeah, you know, we're here to spotlight every single one of you guys who are taking on the task of the Ascendance mural, and all of your heart and soul will definitely be up there on those walls for people. So thanks again for joining us.
Thank you.
Special thanks to Marina Perez Wong for joining us tonight here on Art of Ism Now. Next week, we'll bring together the Twin Walls Mural Company crew. And remember, you can catch their work online at twinwallsmuralcompany.com. And remember, artists out there, let it flow, let it mean something, and goodbye.